Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and unfortunately, this is normally where you would hear, I'm Jennifer Landa. It is unfortunate that Jennifer isn't here, but it is fortunate that Jennifer is doing what she needs to do, living her life, taking a little break. She will be back to join us very soon.
She will be back indeed, and we are going to discuss breaking news from a long time ago. It's the Star Wars News Show, and we're going to dive into a couple cool stories that will lead to speculation done responsibly and theories and what ifs and ideas and all those kind of things. Hey, the news inspires conversation. Today's podcast, though, and broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. And yeah, you're right, Joseph. You said the last week's episodes. Now probably well over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we have a 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. That's one of the A's. The other A we got around these parts is the ask. And Joseph, what's our current ask?
We are still building our Patreon. Everyone has been so supportive over on Patreon. We passed a great goal a little while back to get enough funds to have Jennifer create a new YouTube show, which she is going to do, a series of 5 shows called Jedi Beat. It is a mixture of sort of NPR meets Star Wars, infused with Jennifer's trademark enthusiasm, love and curiosity about all things Star Wars. She's going to be diving into cantina creatures, all sorts of fun, different behind the scenes things that is going to be coming out in July. So look for that. So thank you all for making that possible. We are continuing to build the Patreon. We are heading toward a goal of $2,200 a month, and we will do a special Star Wars ranked episode that will be live streamed for patrons. We did one of these already, and it was great fun, so we would love to do another. Also, joining our Patreon will get you access to our current Other Center podcast, Indiana Jones and the Perilous Podcast. We're having so much fun talking about Indy in the summer of Indiana Jones. So if you're interested in any of that, you can check it out at patreon.com/ForceCenter.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And the next one up for our recording process is Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And I cannot wait to dive into that film.
I almost literally couldn't wait. I needed to watch something with breakfast the other day with a weird schedule. And it's like, I should watch Kingdom of Crystal Skull. Like, no, I want to watch it a little closer to when we're recording. So like, literally, like one hand was reaching for it and the other hand pulled it back. So soon, Crystal Skull, soon.
Soon, indeed. Thank you to all those who have listened and been supporting over there. It really helps the show, as y'all know. All right, let's, well, I was going to say, let's get into the news. But no. We're going to catch up on Star Wars of Life Adventures. And I don't know, that's a loaded question, Joseph. Life's been real busy and challenging all around for not just you and I, but anyone listening. It's a crazy time out there. But did Star Wars find its way in to calm you down, to rev you up, or just keep you going?
Oh, yeah, calming and revving. Sounds like some weird band. I was big fans of Calming and Revving. I don't know if you ever got to see them at First Ave, but Calming and Revving are great. This has been a wonderful and stressful time. Obviously, the WGA strike affects some of the things I'm doing. It affects a ton of the people that I care about in my life. It physically affects the environment of Los Angeles as you drive around and the honking and all that great stuff. So that is a big thing on my mind. I'm having so much fun working on this short film, The Nightmare Adorable. The Kickstarter for it is wrapping up on this Thursday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Pacific. So I'm really, really deep into prepping for that. And as anybody who's ever watched behind the scenes of anything that has ever been made knows, it's a ton of fun, but then it's also, you know, just keeping everything on the rails. Got some family stuff going on as well. So it's just been a lot of juggling. And Star Wars has actually shown up to, as you said, rev and calm. I think the revving has been doing, you know, some of the Force Center stuff. We did a live stream on Saturday that was just a ton of fun and revved me up. But I have really been turning to Star Wars for the life lessons of deep breath, calm down, don't worry about things that could go wrong. plan ahead, but stay in the moment. All those things. I've been taking some moments to try to picture the Qui-Gon kneel and take a breath that we talk about, which I absolutely love. But then I did find it creeping in my mind when I was trying to do that about stressful things. Like, but then he does die. So I don't know if I want to focus on that. I'm going to flip through the old mental Rolodex for some other images. I thought a lot about Tara Sanube. I have this wonderful custom figure on my desk made by listener Will Dixon. Thank you, Will. So I was thinking a lot about the lessons of lightsaber loss, that episode of the Clone Wars, of slow down, but take action when you need to. Look ahead and decide exactly what moment you need to move fast. Which is, I think Tara Sanube would be great at film production. Slow down, take it easy, and then when you need to strike, out comes the lightsaber cane. So that was really good. Final thing for me is there's an Obi-Wan action figure that I coveted for a while that is Attack of the Clones era. It's his look from Attack of the Clones. I can't remember what actual line of action figures it's from, but it has as the image of Obi-Wan the most black velvet painting of Jesus image of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I mean, no disrespect to the faithful, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. People have made the jokes with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan with the haircut, you know, the memes of, you know, people, people's grandmothers actually getting confused. It's just the rendering of the art it makes me laugh and it calms me. So that Obi-Wan action figure has also been helping.
That's amazing. That's great.
So a lot of Jedi here for me. A lot of Jedi. How about you? What have your life in Star Wars adventures been?
Well, one of the things I think we got to, you and I both cite that Qui-Gon dropping to his knees and finding calm moment as being important to us. And I know it's important to a lot of our listeners. And he does die, which is part of what's going on there, part of everything. But so maybe we do have to seek out like an alternate answer. Terrace New Mexico place to start. I know what you mean.
And I just real quick, I'm not judging that Qui-Gon moment. I think the importance of that Qui-Gon moment is that is the way a Jedi should face a fight. Yeah. It isn't about anger and speed and rushing to the finish. It is about being calm and present in the moment and fighting because there is truly no other alternative. And that to me is what those moments are about. I'm not like, ugh, shouldn't have taken a deep breath or he wouldn't have died. I don't want anyone to think that's what I'm taking away from that moment.
I'm with you. This could spin off real easily to a Force Center deep dive on that moment. I think it still means so much. And it goes into even what you and I have talked over the years and how, you know, our different experiences with, say, sports and competition, we've kind of come to this really nice, I think, warm center of there is lessons to be learned in the journey and getting better and competition can make you better. But the end result is not necessarily the goal, but that's what's focused on too much in society. Mm-hmm. I think Qui-Gon is on his way to the Super Bowl, whether he wins or loses in that moment. The win or loss doesn't matter. He's on his knees, calm, at peace. And I think it's an important moment. Still is. Always will be.
Yep. And we see where all that rage gets Darth Maul. Anyway, back to your life adventures now that I had my my Qui-Gon caveat.
Yeah, no, I've been having a lot of fun doing some writing, working some new gigs. I can't fully divulge it, but fun kind of part-time stuff in the nerd world. Spending a lot of time with Indiana Jones, both here and for this writing gig I've been doing. So it's been fun, but I have met new people along the way. And even yesterday I was at a friend's house who I know very well. And I kind of met some new people or people hadn't seen me in a while. And they did the old, hey, what you been up to? What do you do type of thing? Right. It's always a loaded question in LA. And eventually you and I will always, you know, you have to answer Star Wars podcast. Right. Mm-hmm. And I've been struggling. I even had this job interview a couple weeks ago of like trying to explain what Force Center is and trying to boil it down. And I have many times used, and you've been in the room or on shows when we've done this, Joseph. I've gone to our scene by scene breakdown of Dexter Jetster's diner as the ultimate example of maybe what we do. And I don't even know if that's right, but that's the only way I can explain it. Of hey, so you know that scene that everyone else, not everyone else, but a lot of people in pop culture have made fun of or didn't get or just don't think it's great that there's a 50s diner. We did a 2-hour episode to break that down and how it's thematically important. And I even had this at the wedding I was at last week and a half ago. and then at this dinner last night, I was at this friend's house. And I'm collecting the blank stares. I'm collecting them. And so I'm like, maybe that's not the best way to explain what we do. So one of the things that came up in this conversation yesterday was like, hey, look, our kind of philosophy is right. Maybe you don't like the sequel trilogy and you don't love the character of Rey. Wonderful. But you don't get to tell the 5-year-old girl at a convention dressed as Rey that she's wrong. Right? That's kind of one of our approaches and how we look at Star Wars. And that seemed that everyone there went, oh yeah. And one person actually went, yeah, that's, I really like that. So I was like, okay, I got to find, what's the elevator pitch on Force Center? It's my thought. The Dexter Jetster one entertains me because in a way it's almost me challenging. It's almost a little bravado, right? Like, and I don't want it to be taken that way, but it's a little bit of like, hey, you know that character you hate? We love him and here's why. Like, I don't want it to be that, but I don't know. So I'm struggling to sell Force Center in an elevator.
Yeah, no, it's been one of the great joys of my life that I haven't had to turn Force Center in an elevator pitch because that's so much of what trying to get anything pitched, made, get people on board in Hollywood is like, okay, what's the 15-second version? What's the 30-second version? What's the 60-minute version? What's the 2-page treatment? What's the 10-page treatment?
Yeah.
And I just said, the thing is the thing. Yeah. You know, that's so much of the work. I think when I've been telling people about Force Center, I think I always say, you know, we talk about all of the fun stuff and we talk about the lightsabers and which fight is awesome and which bounty hunter we like, but we also really like to dig into the ideas. And I think I usually say, like, you know, Star Wars has a lot to say about anger, because I think even the most casual Star Wars watcher gets the number of, you know, wise old people who's like, don't do the dark side.
Yeah.
Don't do the anger. And I think that has kind of been my elevator pitch. And then if people are not tuning out or falling asleep at that point, 11 seconds into the elevator pitch,
yeah,
I think I'll go for the, it's really gratifying to hear from listeners that talking about those real life issues in Star Wars has affected their real life. And it's affected mine too. It's affected the way that I handle things by actually trying to really recognize the big picture ideas and how could they help me in life.
Yeah.
I think that usually turns into a cool, good for you. And I don't know. And I think sometimes people are very intrigued. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's like I've explained to somebody who hates mushrooms why I like mushrooms. And they're like, good for you. That mushroom's never touching my mouth, but good for you, you know?
No, this is all great. Wonderful. I'd love to hear from our Force Center listeners. Like, how do you explain it? Because a lot of you are so good. I'll see tweets of like, oh, you got to check out this show. Check out Force Center. We really appreciate those because grassroots type of advertising is what works for us. Yeah. And boiling it down and celebrating Star Wars is the way to do it. And we've talked, you and I, that the word positive could be weaponized real quick against things. And yeah, I've had those moments and I apologize. This is it. Let me scoop up the name that I'm dropping here. I did have a conversation with Jet Lucas about this at a party and I said, well, this is, we celebrate, and not to say that everything's perfect, but we just focus on what's there for us. And he goes, so like you find something that you like in all of them. And I went, yeah. And he goes, oh, that's great. Not a lot of people do that. I just thought, okay, I'm going to take that from him. But that's the way that I think we obviously what we try to do. But anyway, I always say this, it has now come up 2 weekends in a row where I've had to explain Force Center in conversation, and I'm struggling to find the best way. And maybe Dexter Jetster will remain. I don't know.
I think the Dexter Jetster conversation makes sense for people who are in the Star Wars bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah, anyway.
yeah. You know, the diner, forearms. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And at this wedding, this guy, because he got, someone said, I think it was Mark Ellis said, hey, you want to talk Star Wars? Go talk to that guy. And so he came over with a big smile. Oh, I hear you love Star Wars. And we start talking. And then I brought up the Dexter Jetster episode. And he looks at me and he had a drink in his hand. And he goes, all right, so I'm going to have you explain to me why. He wasn't being a-hole or he just was like, I don't. Oh, and so I explained my, intersection of knowledge and wisdom and da, da, da. And he just went, man, yeah, see, I haven't really looked at Star Wars that way. So it's there. We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out how to sell it. Anyways, that's all I did. That's my Star Wars adventures, selling Force Center.
Well, I'm glad that we could have this pitch meeting live on a broadcast.
Yes. You out there, let us know. Hashtag, here's what I sell Force Center with. That's a long hashtag. Love to help you. Help us sell the brand. All right, let's get to the news, which is part of what we do around here. Looking at the news this week, a lot going on as always, but because of some movie promotion out there, we're getting some Star Wars news. The future of Luke Skywalker, according to Mark Hamill. That's a misleading maybe headline for me, but having fun with that. Mark Hamill has been busy promoting The Machine, the comedy he stars in along with Bert Kreischer. His profile in Esquire has generated some headlines. Mark talked about beginning to disengage from Star Wars after reading the script for The Last Jedi, which he explained in a Hollywood Reporter article helped fuel some of his emotions in the scenes. And we can come back to that if you want, Joseph.
That's an
interesting point. He also discussed his return with Luke as with The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett, saying he was, quote, very impressed with The Mandalorian when John and Dave pitched him the idea and showed him the first season. And that kind of led to him trying out this new way to do Luke. And then when asked about a digital Luke appearing in future content, he said, people say, oh, now you're going to be able to do a whole series of Luke post Return of the Jedi. I said, I don't think so. First of all, they don't need to tell those stories, but if they do, they could get an age appropriate actor. And the interviewer, Brady Langman, adds, Hamill maintains that Luke Skywalker has three things, a beginning, a middle, and an end. So first off, we're going to talk about those three acts, but actually the prequel to that first off, Joseph, is the thought of disengaging with Star Wars, fueling from some of his Luke Skywalker Last Jedi emotions. What'd you take from that?
Yeah, I think I saw some ambiguous headlines. So then I wanted to go look at the actual Hollywood Reporter article and This was the quote from that article, a quote from Mr. Hamill. Well, the whole thing was emotional because when I read episode 8, I knew it was over. So I was relishing every moment, but also saying goodbye to all those people that I had associated with over the years. So I still miss them. So for me, that's pretty clear that he's saying, I realized that Luke Skywalker was passing into the Force, so I wasn't going to be like one of the main characters of episode 9. So because Luke's journey was over, I was relishing that. And I've seen some headlines that are phrased a little bit more the way it is in our rundown here of like, after reading the script for Last Jedi, he disengaged, which sounds like because he did not like the script. Right. So I just wanted that clarity that I believe that what he is saying is I started to step back because I realized it was my last big film. And obviously Mark Hamill has been open about his struggles with Last Jedi. He has then also said complimentary things. And frankly, I feel like we've all had that go around on those conversations. And that's the least interesting thing for me to discuss at this point. The trajectory is pretty clear. He struggled with it. And then afterwards he said, the film turned out great and I'm really happy with it.
Yeah. There's some stuff that Hollywood Reporter article I didn't pull out of him really be exciting, being excited about the performance and everything there. And he also cited his role in that movie, Sushi Girl, which he actually had come on Schmo's Know to promote back in the day. So that was a flashback 10 years ago of that little indie film he'd done before Force Awakens came out. So I love what you're saying there too. Yeah, it's some stuff. It's like, yeah, we here we go again type of vibe, right? With some of the headlines that spit out of it. And I really liked it. It made sense because they brought up that in that interview, the BTS shot of him kind of on his knees, really emotional in that scene. And, you know, it's what a great actor does. And you draw upon something and him saying goodbye, letting go as Luke needs to overall in that story. It was great. It was a great little bit of insight and kind of made me appreciate the moment even more. It was so personal. So going to this idea here. And look, Mark Hamill for decades has had a lot of thoughts about Luke Skywalker, as he should, because he's the heart and soul of this character in a lot of ways. Whether it's he should be ripped and muscular with a sculpt earring and some of the stuff he wanted for Return of the Jedi, whether it should be a 50-foot giant in The Last Jedi, all these things have come out from time to time. He's got a lot of opinions on it there. But I do want to dive into this. Luke has three acts. I agree with that. That's what most characters might have, you know, beginning of the journey, the middle, and the end of the journey. And we've got to see it all. And for Luke, he gets to go on a little bit, which is something we're going to discuss about, thanks to the power of Force Ghosts. But how do we feel about that middle? And it's kind of a leading question, Justin, because we've talked a lot about what we still might want to see with that character. And so, more stories to tell is the question. And is Mark right? I'm not here to debate Mark Hamill, but, you know, they don't need to tell them is what he said. That's something and I don't think he means that super negative like people mean with we didn't need Solo, which is one of my little pet peeve comments out there. But let's focus on the middle. What do you think about all this?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think that we can sometimes really parse individual words that, you know, that actors choose. We hold Mark Hamill in such high esteem. I think he is, you know, a great ambassador for Star Wars, a great person and endless good things. But he's also just given an interview about another movie. That's why he's doing this. So I don't want to, you know, over obsess on the word need. You know, it's an off the cuff thing. It's not like he, you know, sat down, thought about it, wrote it, and like called press to his house and said, hey, everybody, I have an announcement. You know, it's an off the cuff thing. So first, that's my first thought of the perspective from Mark Hamill. From my own perspective as a Star Wars fan, I think that Luke Skywalker does have a beginning. He definitely has an end. And I think he has an implied middle. We have in modern canon, we have bits and pieces of storytelling. Now we have those great appearances in Mandalorian, in Book of Boba Fett. We have some of a sense of what he's poked around in the comics, like Shattered Empire. Right away, his interest is in collecting Jedi artifacts. We know from the Rise of Kylo Ren comic book that I won't stop talking about that he does form a functioning school, a functioning order. So there's a lot there, but there's plenty of middle left to tell in my opinion, that there could be lots that we don't know. I guess Shadow of the Sith is another part of the middle. But I think there are a lot of beats and steps along that journey. We see him at the end of Return of the Jedi become a Jedi. We have seen now on screen his first baby steps toward starting a school. And then we catch up with him in The Last Jedi after that has fallen apart. I think there's plenty of room. I have some potentially strong opinions on this whole idea of need versus want, but I want to pause myself and see what you think about the middle part.
Yeah, no, implied middle is a great way to look at it. And that's, I think a lot of that for me, this is a personal view of it, of just comes as from the situation of how these films came to be, the sequel trilogy and time passing. And we get this chance to have these characters come back and they decided to tell the story in sort of real time, right? With the Force Awakens being decades later. And I love that. And I still, as much as I wanted to maybe see the big three on screen together again, I do agree with people who bemoan that. I understand it. I'm there with you. But I've always loved the risky ending of Force Awakens and where it goes. And I thought it was great. But I'll say this. I want your strong opinions here. I kind of, at the risk of sounding like I'm slamming my fist down on the table, I kind of need these stories. This is one of the greatest characters of all time. And a lot of EU fans are raising their hands and going, Ken, you always slag on the EU from time to time. We got those stories there. Well, yeah, look, fine. Let's explore that era. I think there's been so much what you're talking about, the Shattered Empire. Shadow of the Sith, great example to pull in. You should keep talking about the rise of Kylo Ren comics. Great Luke stuff. There is a lot of room and there's a lot of questions and we might never get the answers. That's fine. That's fine. We can roll along with it. But if we have the opportunity to do this, the content, sorry, I used that word, but the art, the Star Wars art goes on. Like, I think there's could be a healthy thirst. There could also be an unhealthy thirst. That's the danger of thirst. balance must be found. And I'm excited of where we're at. Right. I'm excited of what could come, no matter how we get there. Animated, digitized Luke, a new actor. We're going to talk about that in a second. I think I've become more excited because I think to borrow Mark's word or the article's word, I started to disengage with the idea of getting more Luke. Right. I just thought, well, not necessarily going to happen. No matter how many times they come on a podcast and say we'd like an animated adventure of him and Laura Santeca, it's just not going to happen. And I just have to accept that. And have to let it go. And now there's a little bit of hope of we could find out more. And I think with Mandalorian Book of Boba Fett, that hope's been fed a little bit of like, here's more where he is. And that's why I think despite some of the controversies or hot takes around the technology that made that possible, I'm still moved by it. I'm still moved. There's that first moment of watching Book of Boba Fett. And I'm like, I'm staring at Luke and Ahsoka. What? Oh, my God. This is something I never thought I'd seen in any shape or form. And so That gives me the hopefully balanced thirst for more.
Yeah, no, I mean, I loved his appearance in The Mandalorian because I think it gave us that pulp action thrill of watching him take down those monstrous droids out to hurt an innocent child, and the depth of him being there responding to a ask for help. But Book of Boba Fett blew my mind because that's Luke in the middle to me. That's the beginning of his middle journey of I am calm. I'm at peace. I'm still wrestling with things. I'm still trying to figure out exactly the way forward. Desirous of Auntie Ahsoka's help. but just the piece of him showing Grogu what it's all about, I love that Luke, and I would like to spend more time with that Luke and see some of the victories that maybe do lead him to being a little cocky, as I think happens to many of us when we have wins. I want more Luke. I want more middle Luke. The whole need or want thing for me is I think we need stories. I think we need food and water and oxygen. But for our souls, I think we need stories. Are there certain stories that we want more? Sure. But need versus want is so subjective. I'm perfectly happy with Kino Loy's story. I think that's a beautiful button for it in Andor. I don't need to know what happened to him. But if Kino Loy showed up and he's the test subject they made Snoke out of, I wouldn't lose my mind, because that doesn't change anything about the Kino Loy beat that came before. So I think I feel very flexible about need or want. What I do have really strong opinions about is Star Wars is a saga. It's a canon of legends, and we use that word canon to I think sometimes almost interchangeably with continuity.
Yes.
But canon is, what are the collections of individual stories that add up to the entire myth, the entire truth of the narrative? And since Star Wars is a story that has been told that way since the beginning, I think this canon of legends, this canon of myths, often benefits from expanding. If the money never showed up for Empire Strikes Back, the first Star Wars film, you know, probably would have never been known as A New Hope, and it would just be known as Star Wars. It would still be great. The prequels completed Anakin Skywalker's story. We know everything that we need to know to understand his story. But the audience and the canon of legends benefited greatly from the Clone Wars, from fleshing out the political realities of that time, from fleshing out Anakin Skywalker's fall, from having more room to see the good side of how compassionate and creative he was, and to see how that compassion and that love of others can curdle into something, into possession. Did we need that, or did the story just get made much, much richer by being that? Final example I'll throw out, and I could just keep going. We understand from the first film, Star Wars, that a rebel alliance formed. So do we need the TV show Rebels? Do we need the TV show Andor? I think that's what's frustrating, is need or want is a weird, unnecessary binary to me, of, is it wanted? Would it add to the character? Would it add to the depth or the complexity of the larger story? Would it introduce a new character, like, say, Ahsoka or Bidu Imo? Would it add new perspectives? And in the case of something like Rebels, would it add new entry points for a new generation?
Yeah.
Those are some of the values. And I think that when we have this conversation about, like, Luke Skywalker's story is good in the movies, we don't need to touch it, almost always from a perspective of people who've lived with the story for a while. And, you know, what if there was a Luke Skywalker show with a new actor playing Luke Skywalker, and that was somebody's first Star Wars, and that was their entry point? Those people would feel like, yeah, I needed that.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I took the talking hammer for
too long,
but I just think it's important to consider all the perspectives.
I have I have to admit my frustration with that need, the we didn't need that vibe, because of how it relates to Solo. I'm a fan of that movie, as you are, and as a lot of fans of Force Center and listeners love Solo, right? And I still bristle when someone's like, rolls their eyes and like, we didn't even need that. We didn't need anything, you know? We don't need any of this. We have no right to any of this. But for me, I'm like, don't you want to spend time with someone like a character that you love? Don't you want to spend more time with them? And for me, I don't need it in terms of, that's how he got his blaster, that's how he did the Kessel Run. That to me is just the frosting on the cake. It's more lessons to learn from him, a character that has moved me and inspired me and challenged me and just been fun to have around for me. So I didn't need more time with Solo, but I got more time with Solo. Because of that, I got new lessons from my own life, new lessons from the character, new things to think about. This is the world we live in. I was just watching a Feige on Favreau interview 15 years after Iron Man, which is a crazy number. It's on the Marvel YouTube channel. I actually recommend y'all check it out. It's pretty fascinating to have them look back and go to the beginning when an independent Marvel Studios is making this film and taking this big risk. And Feige gives Favreau credit. He's like, back then you were talking about the power of IP. And there's a lot of business behind that. And mm-hmm. Favreau did mean some of the business, but he also meant like there's a story. There's power to these worlds we're crawling around in. And you can pull from them and they go into it. It's fascinating because this is post Mandalorian, but to hear Favreau talk about, yeah, you have the fans that probably know it better than you and I, Kevin, and you got to make them happy. And you got to make the fans who are like, who's Iron Man? You got to make them happy. But anyways, to apply to the Star Wars. Yeah. This is not to drive to Mark Hamill's living room and disagree with him here is yeah. And I think you're going even back to the beginning. What you said is like, I don't even think he meant this aggressively or negatively.
No.
They don't need to do this. You don't need to center me in the story. That's how I almost take it of like, no. And if they're going to find someone else, my time in this role might be done in terms of this big kind of heavy lifting. I'm with you. There's more to learn. There's more people to bring into it. And you bring up the Ahsoka factor. Like, we didn't need the Clone Wars. You're right. Mm-mm. But because of that, we have a character that not only has a big show coming out, but has been the character for an entire generation of Star Wars fans, you know, who went to that character. Everything that has been, oh, why do we have to go back to Tatooine? Why do we have to spend time with the new character? Fair points. I can understand that, but it's brought so many new things and new characters. And whether some of them are going to be iconic characters in Star Wars 40 years from now, I don't know. But you got to try. And I think there's so much new with the old. Hey, a theme that, we could put on a Force Center t-shirt there. So yeah. Anyways, a lot of thoughts as well. Need versus want. It's a real surface level critique that just kind of raises my hackles when I hear it.
Yeah, no, me too. And I think that's why I wanted to spend some real time on it. Not mm-hmm. because I feel like I said, yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't think this is a, like, mm-hmm. this is what Mark Hamill is sitting around thinking about. He's like, nah. Yeah, sure. Well, fine. Yeah. Whatever. No. But I think because it can become such a fan point of discussion, mm-hmm. And I deeply, deeply want more middle Luke Skywalker storytelling. So I'm hopeful for it.
Yeah. And because of that, we'll go into this part of the discussion. Mark's suggestion of an age appropriate actor, I thought was pretty clear. And again, he's not saying they should. He's just saying if they're going to do it, this is what they might do. And I, by the way, I think if that's a big role that requires that heavy lifting, I think if there's another appearance in Mando 4 or something like that, I still think he'd probably be interested in doing it. I don't think that's what he's taken to be clear as well. But my question is here, seeing this very just kind of clearly stated, could that serve as a de facto blessing to recast going forward? And I don't, again, need versus want. I don't know if we need that, Joseph, but does that help? Could that help the fandom accept that? And yeah, I'm kind of looking out of the side of my eye at what poor Alden Ehrenreich went through. with the Solo stuff there, which I'm sure he's okay. I'm sure he wakes up every day happy. But, like, you know, it's something that still frustrates me. I hear that a lot. He took a great role. He did it, and he did it to the point where people who know the character are happy with it. And a lot of fans are happy with it. But I'm just wondering, going forward, if we cast someone in this role, and it's Luke, and it's, you know, from Sebastian Stan down to one of the guys who played him on Mando, Book of Boba Fett, or someone new, would this help in any way, shape, or form?
I think it would help for some people. Mm-hmm. I think Harrison Ford, I think I retweeted it on the Force Center Twitter account recently because it just popped up, the Harrison Ford's quote about, like, I love everything he did. He made such smart choices. The reports that Harrison Ford saw Solo twice because he just wanted to appreciate Alden Ehrenreich's acting choices. That means a lot to me. I'm happy with that. But I don't know that that has changed the mind of anybody who doesn't like the film, doesn't like Alden, you know, thinks it should have been AI or whatever, or just thinks the film shouldn't have been made. I wonder if that makes a difference. I think Mark Hamill he's always honest, and he's always a great ambassador for Star Wars. I think he's always both of those things. So I think if an actor was cast, I think you'd hear about it. And I think that he would probably have like a fun, joking, relationship and encouragement. I mean, he's so supportive of younger performers. I mean, he's he's so supportive in singing the praises of Daisy Ridley. He tweets for no reason at all. Here's a bunch of photos of this actor that he's worked with. He's a huge fan of comedy, which I think a part of the reason he's in this film, The Machine. So I think if there was a new actor cast, I don't think this is the last we would hear about it from Mark Hamill.
And before anyone reminds us, yes, we're aware. Like when Grant Feely was announced as Luke Skywalker and Kenobi, Mark Hamill was first in line to say welcome to the family, so to speak. So you're absolutely right.
Family, me. Yeah.
And Mark Hamill was also, by the way, one of the first to publicly defend Jake Lloyd and just say, this is horrible what's going on with him. That's interviews in the early 2000s. So, yeah, you're right about him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the other thing for me is, you know, he... from all of the various interviews and behind the scenes, Mark Hamill seemed to really enjoy being part of Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett, and still so impressed that he can sit in some positions I can, and he's older than me. So, but I understand. I wonder if some of this is coming from, hey, it's fun to do those one-off things. And if they kept wanting me to do like one of those every, you know, year and a half or whatever, fine. But that process for an entire movie or television series might be like, yeah, no. Well, you know, walking through it, doing the role, sitting there and coaching it while another actor goes through and does the role is fun a couple times, but maybe he does not want to, maybe he's reacting to, I don't want to do that for an entire movie or television show.
I actually think you're right on with something there of just where he is in his career and post Force Awakens. There was, I think it's fair to say, a bit of a resurgence in his career, though he had a obviously long, still successful run as a voiceover performer and an actor and things from time to time, of course, but there, without a doubt, a bigger resurgence and appearing in things. But he's had, it seems to me, just a lot of fun. Appeared in, it was that kind of fantasy show he appeared in, his role in as Jim the Vampire in What We Do in the Shadows, all those kind of things. And now this is like a major kind of co-starring role with the comedy. And yeah, there could be an energy of, yeah, you know, I've done that. I'm 71 now. The Star Wars, you know, promotional machine can take a lot of time and energy and maybe he's just not that at that spot as well. And this is a nice way to answer that as well. Like, I'll come in. It's like, I got this new job I started. I was part-time only, please. Thursdays and Fridays. I don't want to, you know, and it may be, and I'm far from 71, closer than I wish. But I think you're right. That could be some of the big thing. And he's obviously going to be asked these questions. This is what happens when you go promote a movie that isn't Star Wars, but you're from Star Wars. And that itself is kind of exhausting. So I think that's a lot into it, a lot going on.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah. Back to the Filoni movie, though. The movie that we all know 100% is going to be titled Heir of the Empire, The Dawn of the New Republic, whatever you want to call it. What do we think of the big three again? This is one of those Force Center temperature checks. We've talked about this. But hearing Mark kind of say, yeah, age appropriate actor, if they're going to bring him back in a major way, does this affect, confirm or change any thoughts that you have about that, looking towards not just Filoni's movie, but this era of storytelling that seems to be launching now?
I think it's still totally wide open and totally possible for the big three to appear in some way in Filoni's film. I think even if it is a pretty direct retelling, an interpretation of Heir to the Empire, I can see a version where some of the roles are filled by other characters. But even if that were the case, if the film stars Ahsoka and Din Djarin, if it's a big galactic stakes, I still feel like there would want to be a sort of inclusion of how are the big three involved. I also think that... well, we know from interviews from lots of people that earlier in this Lucasfilm era, Luke was kind of a don't touch him, and video game creators had to really pitch hard to be like, can we do this?
Yeah,
this scene with him, Battlefront 2 narrative in particular, a scene you and I both love. Mm-hmm. It's great, great middle Luke. But I think that obviously things are opening up. And Favreau has even said at conventions, like, we started small with the Mandalorian in scope, and then we've got the keys to the characters.
Yeah,
we can take them all off the shelf now. So I think if Filoni feels they are necessary for the story, that he's got the keys to the cabinet where all the characters live, including the big three. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts for me thinking about it. And then the whole the idea of, well, how we'll talk about recast or whatever, but mm-hmm. I think it is pretty fascinating to see how quickly we're moving as a society where we're using the term AI is this massive umbrella term for lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of room for confusion, mm-hmm. Snark, concern, anger. Personally, with the AI that is generating scripts, like ChatGPT and all that, I really like that people have been calling it a plagiarism machine. Because it's a harsh way to say it, but it can only create based on information that has already been put into it. And a lot of the controversy is things like, well, for some of the visual art AI that people have been experimenting with, it's pulling copyrighted works that it doesn't actually have the right to. So there's that version of AI, and then there's what's been going on with the recreation of Luke Skywalker, for example, where Mark Hamill is on set. He's credited. It's not like they're trying to pull a fast one on him. But this idea of AI and this idea of things that used to be exclusively human and organic and tactile becoming more rigid, plastic, generated. We're all paying a lot more attention to that suddenly, partially because of the writer's strike. Because anybody can just start poking at ChatGPT and all these other things, that I think it is a more hot button issue and a differently hot button issue than it was whatever it was a year ago when Kathleen Kennedy was talking about recasting legacy roles the public's eye is on this massive umbrella of everything that AI could be. And I think that might impact choices for how to handle legacy characters. The fact that the larger population's eye is more on what is AI, what are we comfortable with it doing, what are we uncomfortable with it doing, and how is it going to impact our lives? It's one thing if it's just a Hollywood technology and like, a computer made Luke Skywalker.
yeah.
Cool. But if you're like, every big boss who signs a paycheck is trying to figure out how they can use the computers that make Luke Skywalker to make me not have a job, you're suddenly going to have more opinions about computer Luke Skywalker. Even if the technology isn't directly related, it is in our imagination right now because AI is such a weird, nebulous umbrella term right now.
Yeah. I've had a fascinating conversation about this at that same hangout where I was trying to explain Force Center. AI came up, and I really actually agree with you on this. It is this umbrella term indeed. And it's changed. And you know, I've had friends, still close friends of mine, who just are rageful over Luke in Mando and Book of Boba Fett. And I personally don't think that's fair. And I think the spirit of it was a little bit different. But anyways, not to go down that path, because forever will it dominate your conversation's destiny. I really do love what you say, saying about even a year ago when Kathleen Kennedy made that statement that it suddenly spawned many headlines. But even going back to 2012, when this studio gets purchased by Disney, this stuff probably wasn't on the table. Or if it was, it was in a maybe. You know, let's get to Tarkin and Leia first and then figure out from there. And I just, we know from Chuck Wendig said I had a lot of Luke stuff in Aftermath that got pulled back. I really agree with your turn of phrase there, Favreau, you know, getting the keys to the cabinet, open it up and see what you can do. So it's exciting. And then, and going to the Filoni part of it, I think I'm warming up more to the idea of them showing up. Not that I was against it, but just that it makes a lot of sense that when I say the Filoni part of it, like he's obviously very aware that those characters exist. And so those characters exist in this timeline. And even if there is, because I've seen some reasoned use of this, and then I've seen some hot take, snarky use of it of well, Din is this character and Ahsoka is Luke, and you know, you have all these kind of proxies for all the big three, or even Lando and Chewie too as well, and then that's what Dave's trying to do, and it makes sense that those characters might be at the forefront, but just the fact that he's got Mothma in Ahsoka is one of those little things as a fan, that not even as a podcaster and a pundit, but as a fan, is like, yeah, he's watching this with me, you know. I love that. And so I actually liked hearing Mark say this, and that maybe others would say it. And you know, hell, I don't know. Recast Billy Lord as Liv. Maybe that would work. You know? There's ways to do it. And I don't need them to lead this movie, but I'm excited about the possibilities of getting to find out what they're doing in this part of the Star Wars story in this new canon modern world that we got. You're right. I just don't think the possibilities were even, they might have been remotely in people's minds up there at Lucasfilm, but not to this degree. And it's, to me, exciting. It's all positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think we'll have a fresh round of this discussion when de-aged Indy comes out later this summer, and that, which is clearly done with Harrison Ford's blessing, he's in the film. That I think we'll have a fresh round of how people feel about computer assisted legacy characters versus recasting.
Yeah. And you know, finding our way forward with technology. It's a big, obviously a great discussion to have right now. So we'll see where we land after that as well. And the final question here, kind of a fun, silly one, maybe with this big picture stuff we're talking about here. If they do recast Joseph, as of right now, for center temperature check, do you have a preference? Big name, fresher face? Where does your heart take you?
Oh, fresh face times a billion for me. Mm-hmm. I think Sebastian Stan is great. I think for me, there's a little bit of like, I really associate him with Bucky. So Bucky Luke, but he's a great actor. So I'm sure he would do a great job. I'm sure there are other famous people that I'm not thinking of who would do a great job. I feel pretty strongly that we need more unknowns to get a chance like they used to. They just don't anymore. I know that. Many people know that from many ways. I know it from myself, from trying to sell things in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Everybody is concerned about who is attached, who can give it more oomph. And that concern is making it harder for new people of all kinds to break in. Hey, you know that Graham Hamilton without no computers looks a lot like Luke Skywalker. I just think I want an unknown to be given a chance, because we, the audience, will have a fresh relationship with that person. And if we don't start giving more unknowns a chance, we're going to miss out on other Mark Hamills.
Yeah. Go back to that Alan Ladd Jr. interview clip from Empire of Dreams of, like, you know, quietly whispering, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't concerned of this cast that George was putting together. No one knew, you know, who are these people? That's why a lot of the marketing, the interviews, you know, the Mike Nichols show, everything, Carrie Fisher's in the lead, because hey, at least she's Hollywood royalty. We don't know these other two chaps. I'm with you there. No disrespect to Sebastian Stan. Bucky, indeed. I even watched that Hulu show, the Pam and Tommy show. He did a fantastic Tommy Lee. He's a great performer. He can inhabit this role. And yes, he strikingly looks like him a lot. But yeah, Graham Hamilton, you know, I don't know what else he's been in, but that's an option, or someone else. And it's funny, you know, the passing of the queen of rock and roll, Tina Turner, last week. Rest in peace, Tina. Influential, iconic pop culture person there. And there was Angela Bassett was talking about, you know, when she did the What's Love Got to Do with It movie, 92, 93, that Tina said, you know, you didn't play me. You found your version of you and your version of Tina in that role. And that's why it worked. And I think that's kind of what we need too. I personally would say that's what Alden did with Solo. And Han is there. It is Han at that time. It is very Han. It is very Han down to the movements. Other people don't agree. Totally fine. Totally fine. But I think that's the vibe that we need. And that's what we could find with a performer who gets a chance to find themselves in the role of Luke Skywalker. And that's what I'm going to
do. I agree with you about Alden, and I agree with you about the recasting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You know, I thought we were kind of done with this. I just realized I scrolled down my notes. I have a lot of notes. I apologize. All right. Continuing here on the news. When asked about appearing as Luke in the Shermin Obey Chinoy, a new Jedi Order film, a.k.a. the Rey film, which might not be 100% accurate, but it's definitely a positive for me. Hamill said, one thing you learn working for Lucasfilm, everything is confidential. So if I were involved, I wouldn't be able to tell you. And if I were not involved, I wouldn't be able to tell you. So I don't know. We'll all find out together, I guess. And the Hollywood Reporter, he was a little bit more direct, not quoting here, but kind of like, nah, I'm not going to be in that type of vibe. So there's a lot of ways to look at that there. So though we might have hung out with this question before, Joseph, let's hang out with it a little bit more. It's not a giant leap to think a Force ghost of Luke might appear in the film. What would the why of that be for us as of right now? And would you miss him on any level if he wasn't, if Mark Hamill said no thanks or just didn't call for it and it just doesn't happen? Where would you go there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, any opportunity to see Luke Skywalker, to see Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, I would take it. Every time I watch a film and it doesn't have Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker in it, I'm a little disappointed. So definitely there'd be disappointment. But I would love for him to appear in this film if it really makes sense. And I think a couple of quick thoughts. One, the last quote we had on this film was Kathleen Kennedy saying the new writer was hoping to turn in their draft by the end of May. So unless that writer made amazing progress, this film is going to be delayed. And if it's still in the development process, this quote, this idea of whether or not Luke makes sense in the story is still up in the air. So that's my just opinion of the behind the scenes reality. In terms of the actual story, the narrative, I always feel strongly that the Force spirits appear in moments of great need for the living Jedi. So Rey could absolutely find herself in a moment of needing counseling, particularly if she is wrestling with being a teacher and she's really got the, oh, I understand. the grumpiness on Octo, I really, really deeply get it now. I think she did in Rise of Skywalker, where she understood the fear of failing and using your power in a way that doesn't benefit others. But she could really be like, oh, man, I need to talk to him because I know he gets it. But if he doesn't, I could also see a choice to have Rey's reaching out for help in needing someone being a connection with Ben Solo. I think that the dyad idea, the fact that Ben did clearly disappear into the Force, I would love to see that explored as well. And maybe it would be a sort of thing of, we have a scene where she needs someone, and maybe it would be fresh and new in an interesting way to explore the dyad if that was Ben Solo instead of Luke or, you know, Leia or anybody else.
Agree with that. And I'd be excited about the Ben Solo thing. Are there some challenges, I think, in convincing Adam Driver to go back to Star Wars for a lot of reasons, not negative, but yeah, I think there could be. But also, if he's still interested in exploring, there was that sci-fi dinosaur space movie that he just was in, Herbert's Fantastic Four, I think as a performer, he's going to find what's there for him. And if it's interesting, much like Daisy Ridley coming back, it could be. And there could be something there. But I think I like the idea of, I always love the idea of what you talk about around why the Force ghosts show up and at the time of need. And that's all I would want, you know, a fireside conversation or, hey, Uncle Luke, why do they hate all the Jedi? what can we do? That kind of stuff is would be fun for me. It'd be potentially a warm moment, a little bit of Yoda showed up for Luke in Last Jedi vibe, 15 years in the future. Or maybe I don't know if I even need it now. If the reality is, you know, Mark himself doesn't want to do it, or they just don't feel any. The fact that at some point along the way, 15 years, that Rey's had a conversation or continued conversations with Force Ghost Luke would work for me as well. But I don't think I need it any more than that. I definitely don't need him charging out with a Force Ghost lightsaber and all those. but also there's something to what you're kind of, I don't want to speak for you there, but of that Luke, Force Ghost Luke at this point, that journey might be over. I'm not saying he's going to disappear like Obi-Wan in Heir of the Empire and Rey's going to have some hot chocolate. I'm just saying it might be more about Ben, right? It might be more about another character than Luke at this point, though Luke is tremendously powerful to the story of Rey and means a lot to her. I get that. But so I am of the mind to think that this is, once the movie is written and made, that I don't think Luke will be there. It's an early prediction of mine. But would I miss him? Hell yeah. I'm always going to miss Luke Skywalker if there's a potential for him to be there, and always going to miss having a chance to see Mark Hamill do it one more time. So that's where I land.
Yep. I'm with you.
All right, we've talked a lot about Luke Skywalker. Any final thoughts, Joseph, before we move on?
We talked about the Star Wars of it because we're a Star Wars podcast, but I love the entire interviews about him in this this comedy film, this bonkers comedy film. And the interviewers keep talking about him doing bonkers comedy as like a divergence. But the man loves comedy. He's a Laurel and Hardy stan from back in the day. He's been doing, you know, comedy cameos since, you know, The Simpsons and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, right?
Yeah.
So I'm so happy for him that he gets to keep doing and exploring different kinds of bonkers comedies. And if anybody who hasn't seen it, I just cannot encourage enough Brigsby Bear. It is weird. I don't want to say anything about the plot. It has Mark Hamill in a bear, and that's why I went and saw it. And I was not disappointed. It is about fandom and how we interact with things we love. And there's some dark stuff and some weird stuff, but overall, it's a really strangely heartwarming film to me. So I encourage you to check out Brigsby Bear. It's got Mark Hamill in a bear.
Mark Hamill, that's a Joseph Scrimshaw. 10 out of 10 recommends here on Force Center. Yeah, the interview is fascinating. And I'm excited because he was so open about being an SNL fan and never having hosted it. I think it's going to happen. I think we just got, it's our Betty White campaign. Hamill, that's not the host. Would be amazing. He's an old song and dance man. I think it would work real well. All right, so we're going to take a quick break on the other side. Some skeleton crew news on the way to you. Before we get there, though, we're going to have a Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, dealer's choice. I have an option.
I'm going with your option, Ken. We're going back to the High Republic. I'm really hoping to get caught up on Phase 2. If you want to listen to Phase 2, you can check out Path of Deceit by Tessa Grattan and Justina Ireland.
Check it out if you want. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. Help yourself and help us. It's a deal. All right, quick break. On the other side, more news here on ForceCenter.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to Force Center. We're continuing to look at some Star Wars news. I'll shout out the folks at Star Wars News Net that made this one kind of slide across my news desk today. Written by the credits for Skeleton Crew Revealed. This has been happening over the last couple of years where people, I can't even call it like sleuths or scoopers. It's just a website that you can all go to at any time. The WGA website is once again the source for another writer's revealed story. And by the way, I don't mean to sound cynical with that. I like this. I like finding out who's behind this. The website of the Still Striking Union lists series showrunner John Watts and his longtime writing partner Christopher Ford as the writers for episodes 1 through 4 and 7 and 8. It is an 8-episode season. Episodes 5 and 6 are listed by being written by Myung Jo Wesner. Wesner's previous credits are, a story editor on the Hulu show Career Opportunities and Murder and Mayhem. She's a member of WGA East. However, as is often the story, one list of credits does not tell the entire career. she is, I think you could say, in that young and up-and-coming category, but she's done a lot already. She's had scripts on The Blacklist and has a pilot in development at ABC, the little offshoot of ABC, and has had short films and a feature do well on the festival circuit. Joseph can tell you a little bit about that. It ain't easy to do. So thoughts on the writing credits and, you know, this sub-question, Joseph, the power of Star Wars to launch new names, at least for us in the fandom, something we've discussed before, but now we have another name on the list.
Yeah, no, it's always great to see new names. And I think it's such a power that Star Wars has the opportunity to share the spotlight with the next generation or even the same generation.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been in the spotlight or in like the casting of the Mandoverse, been in a different spotlight. Come on over to the Star Wars spotlight. I think that's one of the great powers of it. And I think it's one of the ways that the creation of Star Wars can echo the myth and the values of Star Wars to bring more people in. So I'm always happy and excited to see new writers, new directors, even younger cast members get an opportunity in Star Wars. And who knows, maybe these people will be the ones who truly take up the mantle and they're the future Favreau Filonis, or this just launches a career that isn't Star Wars, but really helps them launch their career. I love that this is happening so much, and I love that we're in such kind of a new era of it. So it's yet to be seen, you know, if Leslie Headland will do one Star Wars show and then she'll go on to be like the Scorsese Spielberg of her generation and, you know, be a film director who makes a million different kinds of films. Or if she's just like Favreau, like, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm good. You know, and now I do genre television shows for the rest of my life. You know, it's so much about what people want their career to be. But regardless of what the trajectory is, there's just, to me, no doubt that that Star Wars spotlight helps. So that's my reaction to just the power of launching new names. I think for Wesner's background, it's extremely impressive. From my Hollywood perspective, the list of credentials, you know, might not be, bulging on IMDb,
right.
But the way that things actually get made in Hollywood, the way that people actually break through is they have accomplishments that create buzz around them, open doors, get meetings, get people into a place where if writers are going, hey, we need somebody else to script a part of this, we're looking around for up-and-comers. There are credits you need to be considered an up-and-comer. And Wesner is clearly knocking those out of the park. Just very impressive.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Impressive indeed. None of this is easy to accomplish, to do. Takes time, effort, sometimes money you don't have to get these films made, even just getting into the festivals. Don't want to speak for you, but it's like I haven't had to do this. I did a lot of screenplay competition stuff back in the day, comedy festivals, just to get in. It takes a lot of money. Sometimes it's a downside of it. But anyways, she's done it. She's here. I'm excited. And I think we are in this era. I think back to some of the early days of Disney Star Wars, and there were some great conversations about, hey, who else should and who else could be brought in to do this? And when you have one movie a year, the chances are, a lot slimmer for folks. And you mentioned earlier, like with just the actor's name, this is why I love him to death. Pedro Pascal is going to be cast in everything for the next 2 years, right? Because his name has some weight behind it right now. And you got to run with it as an actor, run with it. I think Oscar Isaac had a bit of that run and will again, and is still going strong. But, there's a little bit of like, oh, who's this guy? Force Awakens is what put him on the map for the industry, not necessarily inside Llewellyn Davis. That was just to maybe move him forward. You know what I mean? It was, and I'm excited for that, but it was tougher, when it's just one movie a year. But now you got shows. Now you got multiple episodes. Some of them are not necessarily traditional writers' rooms, like you hear that term being thrown around. I still think, of Mandalorian as a Favreau story that he gets help on, And I don't know if that's 100% right way to look at it, but this as well, this is very much a John Watts pitch on the set of a Spider-Man movie. He and Christopher Ford have worked together for years, and this makes a lot of sense. This is how you would kind of do it. More names getting in there is a good thing, and it's happening, and it's been happening in Star Wars. And I, as much as Star Wars always, by the way, could still improve, but as much as the franchise and Lucasfilm as a company took a little bit of, I think, justified barbs back in the day on who they were bringing in to do some of these things, I want to give them some credit for continuing to pull new names in as they go along. And the Star Wars bump, the rub, Deborah Chow had a long list of credits, very accomplished. Didn't need Star Wars to justify her career, but now look at her name. Now she's just a name we say, as if she was always there. And that's what I think working a Mando did for her to get to Kenobi. So, yeah, you never know what name is going to be the future star or an anchor, or like you said, moving on to other great things as well. It's just kind of fun, and it's fun. It makes me proud as a Star Wars fan that this is getting better. And better. So I'm excited about that. I this is one of those names that you can't go into the long list of credits and say that are, and go, all right, this is what they bring to the table, everything. You can look and watch her stuff, I suppose. But I just like that it's a new name, and we're going to figure this all out together. Going to be fun.
Yeah. No, I really agree. And I think the other thing about it that's really interesting and exciting to me is we don't know as much about Skeleton Crew. And I wonder if the way this writing is broken down, 8-episode season, it suggests a very 3-act structure, which, many TV shows have 3-act structures. But if episode 1 through 4 are sort of a chunk, and then 7 and 8 is the big finale, it suggests, it'd be one thing if it was like she's writing every 3 episodes or whatever.
Right,
but the fact that this new writer is writing the middle, the 5 and 6, as a chunk. It makes me really curious about the structure of Skeleton Crew, if it will be a little bit more like the Andor structure, which really did have these, like, these episodes are this story, these episodes are this story, and it all adds up. I think the other thing that's really intriguing to me about what could we maybe desperately glean from this writing credit about the show, Wesner's scripts that she's won awards for on the circuit and things that have been produced are a mix of thriller, sci-fi, action, which of course also all makes sense for Star Wars. But I'm also just really curious if, you know, I didn't have time real quick this morning to read 5, 6, 7 scripts. I wonder if there's anything in her interest in as a writer, her focus as a writer, her experiences that resonate with Skeleton Crew in particular, or the story that she's telling. You know, is this a case of Watson Ford, we're looking for a great writer, a great up-and-coming writer, and they found one? Or is there something in her style, her experience, that speaks to Skeleton Crew? I'm always fascinated with those kind of things, and I can't wait until Skeleton Crew comes out, learn more about this writer, and there might be that aha moment of, out of all of the great up-and-coming writers, maybe this is a reason that they zeroed in on this person.
Yeah, well said. And final thought on this whole situation, just about Skeleton Crew, the show. I find myself more and more excited. The footage at Celebration, I thought, was really solid and really painted a picture of what we got. We got the story we were talking about a couple weeks ago with Julia White in the show. That was just kind of fun. And I'm just excited that as information will start coming out, hopefully not through scoops and leaks and all that kind of stuff, though this is kind of that as well. We will admit it's not a Lucasfilm confirmed story. But I find myself more excited for the show because we don't know, right? Because we know the pitch, we know the elevator pitch, we know a little bit of the footage, but it hasn't coalesced into a clear picture. It's just the unknown is tantalizing for me here on this show.
Children versus the Urkel pirate. Can't wait.
there it is. Do we have a green light? Yes. We got it. So, of course, we'll keep you updated when more news on Skeleton Crew, including maybe the official release that was hinted at in the previous story, will come to light. So there you go. That's it for this week. Big story and then a smaller story. We put it all together in one episode here. We're going to let you know where you can find us before we head on out. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Our Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Thanks to everyone who hung out with us on the Saturday Live Q&A recently. We really appreciate support. More coming in June, of course. Podcasts available on a lot of spots, including iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Just search to find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Patreon.com/ForceCenter, as we set up top, is where you can support us directly. Follow me at KatNapsok or go to my website, katnapsok.com, for more information. I am on a little bit of a not doing as much on my own right now while I kind of navigate to another job here in the old nerd talking space, but don't worry, more things on the way, including my radio show, Pop Rock and Radio. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on social media at Joseph Scrimshaw is my handle, all sorts of places. I am still trying to cling on to Twitter. We'll see how that goes. Instagram is a great place to find me. I'm on Mastodon. I did join Blue Sky this weekend. And they're still doing the invite code thing. I don't know if I need to post like 1,000 skeets in order to get an invite. I don't know. I can't wait to have an invite code. I was very graciously given one by an old friend. So I'm happy to be trying out Blue Sky. If you happen to be on there, feel free to find me on Blue Sky, Joseph Scrimshaw. I'll plug one more time the Kickstarter for the short horror film I'm working on called The Nightmare Adorable. We got a rehearsal for it coming up this week. Ken is one of the actors. I can't wait to work on that with him. It's going to be a ton of fun. One of the things that you get through the Kickstarter is you get access to see the film on a private link. The way these short films work, I will spend a year pitching it to film festivals, and it won't be online for a long time. So if you're interested to see the film, the Kickstarter is the way to do it for now. So if you're interested in that, you can go to Kickstarter and just search for Joseph Scrimshaw. Thank you all so much for all of your kind support.
Yeah, it's been nice to see and feel. All right, that is it, my friends. We'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.